Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Barry. Today, we have a very interesting discussion, and it's going to be about something called hybrid styles. You might be wondering what this means, and I think it actually revolves around one question. And this question is, what happens when composers merge national traditions, older musical forms, and new harmonic languages all at once? In the late 19th century, musicians across Europe were doing exactly that. They weren't traditionalists or revolutionaries, to say. They were, in a sense, hybridizers, blending influences from all of these countries to create new musical identities. And at the heart of this movement stands César Franck, whose music offers a masterclass in this style. But he wasn't alone. Across France, Germany, Russia, and Central Europe, many other composers were also mixing cultural music, colors, and structural ideas in new ways. So today we're going to explore how all of these hybrid styles emerged and how they shaped the sound of this new changing world into the 20th century. Just in general, the late 1800s were a time of cultural cross-pollination. We had railways, publishing networks, international conservatories, and a lot of touring virtuosos like Liszt, for example. That meant musical ideas could travel faster than they ever had before. So the three major traits that shaped this period were German structural rigor and chromatic harmony, due to probably Wagner, French elegance, color, and lyricism, due to some of the French grand opera that we learned about earlier in the season, and nationalist revivals from Czech to Russian to Scandinavian. And we've talked a little bit about Dvorak and Tchaikovsky when it comes to this. So this created the perfect climate for this hybrid composition. César Franck's music is this. He was born in what is now Belgium, but he was raised in Paris. So Franck naturally absorbed German symphonic thinking, the Wagnerian harmonic color, French melodic elegance, Baroque and classical forms, and also, my favorite, organ-inspired sonorities. But what makes him remarkable is that he didn't copy any of these elements. He blended them all together to create this hybrid style. His signature is something called cyclical form, where themes return across movements, creating total unity in works. Some of those works of his are his Symphony in D minor, his Symphonic Variations, the String Quartet in D major, and the most famous of all, the Violin Sonata in A major. This technique kind of recalls Beethoven and Liszt, yet when Franck does it, it sounds French. Franck also used Wagnerian chromaticism not for operatic drama like we've heard it before, but for some glow that he has in this harmonic suspense that he creates in his music. Now, his organ background also helped shape all of these layers that he has and these sonorous textures in his orchestration and in his piano writing, giving his music almost a sacred sound in its architectural quality. So, in short, Franck was essentially fusing all of these eras, nations, and styles into something that was cohesive and deeply expressive. as I said before, he's not the only hybrid composer that we can explore from the late 19th century. One of Franck's contemporaries who created his own hybrid style was Gabriel Fauré, and he merged the German-influenced chromatic harmony with French clarity and restraint, modal and archaic elements, and a quietly yet quite revolutionary harmonic palette throughout his compositional output. So his music is actually looking back to Renaissance purity, but also forward to the impressionism of Debussy and Ravel, all while just sounding unmistakably French. So we have pieces like the Requiem and the Nocturnes and his Pélléas et Mélisande suite, and this is showing how he is blending all of these worlds together. Another composer who was great about this was Camille Saint-Saëns, but he did this more in a classical vein. He combined classical clarity, romantic orchestral color, and all of the cosmopolitan influences that were going on, and this included exoticism. So his works like the Organ Symphony and my favorite, the Piano Concerto No. 2, are prime examples of this form that was infused with French brilliance and international flair. Yet, it's innately German in a way with these classical forms. So, there was a lot of hybridness going on, but Franck's influence also spread through his students and followers, and I'm just going to name a few because we're going to talk about them here in a few episodes. These people include Ernest Chausson, who was blending Wagnerian harmony, French sensuality, and Franck's cyclical and thematic unity in all of his works. His poem and symphony in B-flat major are showcasing this firsthand. We have Vincent Dandy, who was merging the German symphonic thinking with all of these folk elements and historical influences. And his symphony on a French mountain air is this perfect fusion of the nationalism with a classical sense. So I've mentioned a lot of French composers, and this hybrid movement was not limited to this French area. So across Europe, composers were synthesizing national identity with cosmopolitan form. So I'm just going to name a few. I'm not going to name any works right now, but we have Dvorak, which I mentioned earlier, who was fusing the German symphonic movement with Czech folk. Edvard Grieg was also doing this in a sense with Scandinavian folk and the German lyricism as well. Tchaikovsky did this with his usage of the Western architecture, so we have those classical symphony forms, but with Russian melodies attached to them. We also have Borodin, who was doing the same thing. So we don't necessarily hear a lot about these hybrid composers. And honestly, before I got to grad school, I didn't really realize that César Franck was the head of this so-called soft 19th century revolution that we're witnessing in compositions by blending traditions rather than rejecting them. And I think at this time, this is what kept these classical forms alive, albeit them absorbing the innovations that came before them, like of Wagner and of Liszt. But it's all paving the way to this early modernism that we see starting in the early 20th century. without all of this, I think that the pathway to, like, Debussy and Mahler and Sibelius and all of these other people that are also probably considered hybrid composers, it would look completely different. So, with all of that being said, we are going to talk about a few of the people that I actually mentioned in this episode, in our next episode, because we're going to be talking about the Mighty Five. So if you're interested in that, please join me next time on Between the Bar Lines.